101. Jesus questions his mother about his disciples. The evening of 13 February 1944. About 2 hours after the above vision, I now see the house of Nazareth. I recognize the room of the farewell, open onto the little kitchen garden, where the plants are all covered with leaves. Jesus is with Mary. They are sitting beside each other on the stone bench set against the wall. It looks as if they have already had their supper, and that mother and son are taking delight in a sweet conversation, while the others have already withdrawn, if there are other people, as I do not see anybody. My internal voice informs me that it is one of the first times that Jesus goes back to Nazareth after his baptism, his fasting in the desert, and above all, after the formation of the Apostolic College. He tells his mother of his first days of evangelization, and the first hearts he conquered. Mary is hanging on the words of her Jesus. Mary is thinner and paler, as if she had suffered during this period of time. Two dark shadows have formed under her eyes, as if she had been crying and worrying a great deal. But now she is happy and smiling. She smiles, caressing her Jesus's hand. She is happy to have him there, talking heart to heart with him in the silence of the oncoming evening. It must be summertime, because the fig tree already has its first ripe fruits, which stretch out as far as the house, and Jesus, standing up, picks some and gives the best ones to his mother, peeling them carefully, and offering them in the crown of skins pulled down inside out, as if they were white but streaked in red, amidst a corolla of petals white inside and violet outside. He offers them in the palm of his hand and smiles, seeing that his mother relishes them. Then he asks her point blank,
"Mother, have you seen the disciples? What do you think of them?"
Mary, who is about to put a third fig to her mouth, starts, withholds her hand, lifts her head and looks at Jesus.
"What do you think of them now that I have shown them all to you?"
urges Jesus.
"I think that they love you, and that you will get much out of them. John. Love John, as you know how to love. He is an angel. I do not worry when I think that he is with you. Peter too, is good. Somewhat harder, because he is older, but sincere and convinced. And his brother too. They love you as best as they can, just now. Later, they will love you more. Also our cousins, now that they are convinced, will be faithful to you. But the man from Cariath, I do not like him, son. His eye is not crystal clear, and his heart even less so. He frightens me."
"He is full of respect for you."
"Too much respect. He is full of respect also for you. But not for you, the master. For you, the future king, from whom he hopes to receive wealth and glory. He was a nobody, just a little more than the others at Cariath. He hopes to play an important role at your side. And, oh, Jesus. I do not want to be uncharitable, but I think, even if I do not want to believe it, that in case you should disappoint him, he will not hesitate to take your place, or endeavor to do so. He is ambitious, greedy and vicious. He is more suitable to be the courtier of a worldly king, than your apostle, my son. He frightens me."
And the mother looks at Jesus with two eyes full of dismay in her pale face. Jesus sighs. He ponders. He looks at his mother. He smiles to encourage her.
"Also that is needed, mother. If it were not he, it would be someone else. My college must represent the world, and in the world they are not all angels, neither are they all of the same character as Peter and Andrew. If I chose everything perfect, how could the poor diseased souls dare hope to become my disciples? I have come to save what is lost, mother. John is saved as he is. But how many are not?"
"I am not afraid of Levi. He redeemed himself, because he wanted to. He forsook his sin and his customs desk, and acquired a new soul to come with you. But Judas of Cariath did not. On the contrary, pride is becoming more and more the master of his ugly old soul. But you already know that, son. Why do you ask me? I can but pray, and cry for you. You are the master. Also of your poor mother."
The vision ends here.